an easy start to your Saturday morning. Gonna have a great Saturday morning. Right here at Rosie on the House. At 10 o'clock, the 10 o'clock hour, 10 to 11, we'll have special guest in Jeff Carmichael from Rheus, talking about the six most common air conditioning problems this time of year and how you can beat them, avoid them, and manage your way around them. 9 o'clock hour will be open hour for any of you having a project you're trying to tackle around your house, home, castle, or cabin. That would be a great opportunity for you to dial in. We'll take any question on any topic having to do with home improvement or home remodeling. In the 8 o'clock hour, we've got...
Outdoor Living Hour. It is the Urban Farming Weekend, and we'll be talking edible landscapes.
Aha. If you're going to water it, fertilize it, cut it, trim it, hedge it, care for it, you might as well be able to eat it.
No doubt.
That goes a long way for eliminating oleanders, right?
Yes, and for using water wisely.
And then this morning in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got special guest editor of the Arizona Highways Magazine, repeat guest, Mr. Robert Steve. Robert, again, thanks a million for coming in.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me. I always love coming down here to see you guys.
Hey, y'all are here in the beginning of Q4, wrapping up your special collector's edition version of the magazine.
Yeah, it seems like we were just here talking about the initiation of this thing. And for your listeners and who aren't subscribers, we've done a little something different this year. We've sort of done a year-long theme called the Explore Arizona series. And for each of the covers, we've broke tradition and have been doing these illustrated covers. There's a very talented artist down in Tucson named Chris Gall, who has done all kinds of things, does work for DreamWorks and others. And so he kind of talked about this sort of passion of his to do these what we call vintage travel posters. And so we sat down with him and came up with 12 destinations, and we've seen 11 of the covers. He still has one more. He's still working on Monument Valley, which we haven't seen yet, but subscribers just are getting the October issue, which has a beautiful Canyon de Chelly on it.
Well, we'll talk more about what's coming up. April was Sonora, Patagonia, one of Jennifer's little favorite corners of the state. Mm-hmm. Loving that area. June was the Catalinas.
Mm-hmm,
I have to admit, that's a range of mountains I haven't spent very much time in.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And then July, we had the White Mountains, which we know pretty well.
Yeah, and we were talking, before the show started, just about the diversity in Arizona and just, you can point your compass in any direction and see something completely different. So I think you just illustrated that right there with the list of those places.
I had an occasion I had to drive to Springerville last Sunday, round trip there and back in a day.
Oh, yeah.
And it is so green, it is so tall. The wildflowers are in such wild bloom. If you want to get a good taste of what the White Mountains look like after a heavy rain summer, now would be a great time to go. I was talking to Stan in the office, and he says, you know what, Nancy booked a couple nights at Tawiwi Lodge. So they're going to jump in the truck and go check it out. It is absolutely gorgeous. And the week before, Jennifer and I had just driven through Monument Valley and, painted the Petrified Forest. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's almost this unfair advantage we have. Almost every road is a scenic drive, if you point the car in the right direction.
So what do you have coming in the next couple months? You mentioned Canyon de Chelly is coming up.
Yeah, that's the subscriber should be getting that this week, I would think. Be on newsstands pretty soon. And then we're going to follow up with Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon, another beautiful place that has a lot of history. I've been spending a lot of time digging through our archives, reading old things, and it's really amazing. I mean, I don't think there are many places in Arizona that have changed more in you only have to go back to about 1945 to that place being, essentially not even on the map. We did a very famous, our art director, longtime art director, George Avey, made this very famous map, which we've reproduced as a poster in the last couple of years. And, you know, you look at it, Sedona's not even on there. He did all these great little illustrations. And, you know, when we re-released that poster, I got all these calls, you know, where's Sedona? It's like the map was done in 1939. I mean, Sedona wasn't a conversation back then. So we're resurrecting this great old story from 1959, and it's kind of got that mid-century writing style. The language is just a little, aw shucks, you know, so gosh darn swell kind of writing. And but, you know, the writer took this tour, and the things that he saw back then that are so different now. But, of course, you know, what makes Sedona and Oak Creek Canyon so great is sort of getting off the beaten path and, you know, exploring all the beautiful canyons up there. I mean, as a hiker, you know, I don't know of a place in Arizona that has a more concentrated number of great hikes. I mean, even the Grand Canyon, I mean, a lot of that sort of backcountry stuff, but Sedona is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to that.
Well, I did find the best burger in Arizona. I was in Sedona yesterday.
Oh.
Oak Creek Brewery.
Oh.
The Baja Burger.
Oh, really?
I mean, I've got to call Roger Naylor and see, was that in his book? I got to find.
Well, we have the book of
burgers,
we should have checked.
Burgers and Boots.
Boots and Burgers.
You still look happy from that burger. I can still see the smile on your face.
There was this Tabasco mayo blend jalapeno thing going on. Mm. I mean, and they cooked it to perfection.
Yeah, you know, Sedona has changed a lot, right? And so, you know, people sort of lament the fact that there's a little bit of traffic up there and things. But, you know, with all that comes what you're talking about, some really great amenities, some really great restaurants up there, so many great places to stay. And, again, if you put a little effort in, you can disappear in those canyons in a good way, you know, and get away. I mean, I, again, spend a lot of time hiking and oftentimes don't see another human being, so great destination.
Our last staycation winter actually was focused on getting to know Sycamore Canyon.
Oh, right.
And they just went and they stayed in Williams, but they would drive down every day and go hike another component of Sycamore Canyon. She taught me, I didn't know this, that Sycamore Canyon is the second largest canyon in Arizona. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it is, and it's very remote. I mean, there's a lot of great history there. I mean, there's even talk that there are, you know, people have stayed there and had UFO experiences and all kinds of crazy things. But, you know, the history, cattle rustlers and stuff used to disappear into Sycamore Canyon. And again, a ton of great hikes up in there. They're a little more rugged and remote. The one that your winner took from Williams, those are a little bit easier to get to. But you can, you know, and you can come in from Prescott, you can come in from Cottonwood, you can come in from Williams. It is a big canyon, and it is a beautiful canyon. It's definitely one of my favorite places.
What was your most current favorite hike? I mean, you're out all the time.
Yeah.
The Arizona Highways is the only magazine where I read a letter from the editor.
Really?
I mean, would you read letter from the editor of Pro Remodeler?
Well, I can't really say I would, but
qualified remodeler.
Well, qualified remodeler for sure. I read that every month. Well, I do appreciate it. So there's my mother and my father and you, Rosie. I'm in good company.
Well, that letter is kind of like a secret view into Robert Steve's head. Okay, he's going to tell you what in this issue was really, really special to him. And for someone that's been in, about, and through Arizona as much as you, which, by the way, I hate you for, only because I'm jealous.
I understand.
You get a little glimpse into, okay, I'm going to go through the magazine, but the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the things you've brought up in the letter to the editor and say, okay, if he wants you to know some secret little thing about this issue, it's right here.
Well, and I do appreciate you saying that. You know what? Arizona Highways has such a deep history that, you know, a lot of the things I write about are some of the old stories tied to the history of the magazine. You know, when we were banned in the Soviet Union in the 1960s as a magazine, and so there's a lot of history. And, you know, talking about the different photographers and writers and some of their backstories and things, and you know, usually there's a way to tie that to what we're focusing on with the current issue.
If we wanted you to bring in a photographer, do they talk much?
Well, you know, writers and photographers are interesting characters.
Not always very verbal.
Yeah, you know, so it just depends. There are some that I could find you one for sure. Well, I mean, there are some that we let them out of the cages once in a while and let them actually.
It would just be really interesting to know, you know, how many hours someone spent getting a particular picture and what distance they had to climb and how remote they had to be and how.
Yeah.
It would just be really interesting.
There are great stories. One of our longtime photographers, Jack Dikinga, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer, you know, one of his most famous shots, he had to hike into a place 4 hours to get to the spot. And the first time he went, the gentleman that escorted him in there, Jack was running a little bit late, and they got there like 2 minutes too late. And the guy's like, no point in getting the cameras out. We missed it. Oh. And so he ultimately went back to that one spot, I think, 8 different times to get a single shot. So most of those stories aren't as extreme as that, but you bring up a great point. I mean, I think most of our landscape photographers, you know, they spend probably 300 days a year living out of the back of their campers and waiting for the clouds and the sun and all of the other things that go on out there.
I gave up my outdoor photography career in high school when I checked out a camera from the journalist, the school newspaper, and they wanted pictures of some of my outdoor stuff.
Right.
So we were up behind Lake Roosevelt in the Sierra Anchas. Is that
Yep, love that. And another undiscovered place. Yeah, here alone
yourself.
Out there.
And they wanted pictures of bears. So lots of prickly pear back up there, lots of manzanita. So we were out there photographing bears, and we were kind of on a little precipice, and I had the camera mounted on a tripod. And I turned around after staring through binoculars trying to get the shot, and there was a bear like 5 feet behind me. And so it startled me to the point I bumped the camera.
Oh, no.
And it went tumbling about 200 feet off the edge of the cliff. And I almost followed it because that bear looked a little bit too interested. But that was 35 millimeter.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It clicked 4 pictures on the way down.
Did were they great shots?
No, I did. I did retrieve the camera and I did get the film.
And you were fired.
And I was fired.
Oh well, you know. But what a great way to go out, right?
That was my start of construction because then I had to get a job to pay for the camera. There you go, Gary. And welcome back to Rosie on the House. This morning's Arizona Magazine Hour. We call it the Arizona Magazine
Which
Hour.
Which it should be, right?
And so it was only appropriate to bring in the editor of Arizona Highways, Mr. Robert Steve.
Now, you asked Robert about his favorite hike, and did you notice he never answered that question?
I know.
So I'm thinking maybe he doesn't share that information.
You don't think he likes to share?
Maybe that wasn't cool for you to ask
He wouldn't be the editor of Arizona Highways Mag. Oh, he probably
he
has
some.
He probably has a few secrets he keeps from us, but he sends photographers to take pictures of all of his favorite places.
And they can't keep a secret to save their lives, so. Right.
So what was your favorite most recent hike?
Well, the one I just did not too long ago, I hiked into a place called Pump House Wash. So your listeners who are familiar with that gorgeous drive through Oak Creek Canyon, if you're heading north and right before you hit those switchbacks that go up and eventually go up to Flagstaff, right at the bottom of the switchbacks there's a little bridge and there's a slot canyon there to the right called Pump House Wash. And typically, it's more of a place that backpackers go because you can make a multi-day trek through there and hit a couple of other side canyons up in that area. But I'd seen photos, you know, you point out from photographers, and one of our photographers had showed me some of his images from in there, and I was like, wow, I've never been up there because the parking is hard and tricky, but you know, the best things are usually worth a little bit of effort, and so it's the way I would describe it. It's like West Fork of Oak Creek, which is the busiest trail in Coconino National Forest. It's got the same kind of beauty as that trail, but absolute solitude. You'll most definitely not see anybody in there with you, and it's mostly boulder hopping, but it's
a bit steeper. Than
it's a little steeper, right? And there is no established trail, so you know if you're going out and you're sort of a novice hiker and you like that security of seeing an actual footpath, this wouldn't be for you. But you can't get lost because the canyon walls are very narrow, and you know, unless you're Spider-Man, you're not going to veer off on this trail. But it's a spectacular spot, and we actually feature it in our October issue because there's a lot of oaks and things in there, of course. So it'll be really beautiful in the fall.
And the trailhead parking for that?
There's one spot when you're coming down the switchbacks, and so you have to catch it coming from north to south. Otherwise, there's a little recreation and campground area about half a mile south of the trailhead, and that's the best place to park. And we kind of spell it all out in the magazine.
Very good. Well, you've got, like I say, in the last year, the collector's edition. Mm-hmm. Now we've got these covers available in some wallpaper posters.
Yeah, we've created posters which are available already on our website. Not the ones that haven't come out yet, but they're all available as posters. They're going to be postcards. Once the 12th one is done, we're going to have a 12 pack available in time for the holidays, and we expect that we'll be doing fine art prints of these things as well. So we're going to get a lot of mileage out of these.
Well, go ahead.
This is anybody who goes on the site will get a lot of miles out of it. You could do all your Christmas shopping right there. The posters are beautiful. You could have one framed, and then all the books that you have. You know, if you want to get somebody to come out and visit, or you just know somebody who just loves Arizona.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, we've got guidebooks for just about everything. You know, whether it's fishing, hiking, camping, scenic drives. We have a new wildlife guide that came out in the last year, and so, you know, we kind of call it our box set, and we're working on a new book called the Arizona Guidebook, and it'll eventually have part one and part two, so it's going to be very scenic and kind of talk about, we're starting with sort of the northern half of the state, so that'll be coming out, and we've got a new book coming out for the centennial of Grand Canyon National Park, which will be in 2019. So, yeah, we keep it busy with the books.
Well, y'all are so much more than just the magazine, and I have to confess that I did not know the website very well, but in preparing for today's visit, I did go on the website last night. And if y'all haven't been there, arizonahighways.com, they have a tab, Explore, whether you want to go hiking, camping, scenic drives, or area attractions. And you can take this website and basically build out an itinerary for a trip anywhere in the state. They have a tab, Eat and Sleep,
which we all need to do every day.
Well, what's really cool, though, is that if you like hiking, they give a complete – well, first, there's a beautiful photo. And so you kind of get a sense of the terrain you're going to be covering. And then they give an in-depth account of what it's going to be like. And then it tells you how, you know, elevation and basic things like, can you bring dogs, horses, what do you need? But just the description, I think, is worth, you know, a lot.
If you click on Explore, click on Hiking, the very first trail mentioned is Inner Basin Trail.
Mm.
Now, that's going to be a trail worth being on here in about 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, I get asked these questions a lot about what's your favorite place, what's your favorite hike, what's your favorite, you know, Quiet Meadow, and the Inner Basin Trail, which is, again, for your listeners who might not be familiar, it's up near Flagstaff, up in the San Francisco Peaks, and it's sort of on the, it goes into what would have been the center. That all those mountains up there used to be one giant volcano, and over time has sort of turned into a collection of smaller mountains, but the Inner Basin Trail basically goes into what would have been the heart of that volcano, and honestly, it's like you're in the Swiss Alps or something when you're up on that trail. You've got these gorgeous aspens, and as you point out, Rosie, and I mean, in a not too long, in September probably, late September, those aspens will be looking beautiful.
And that would make a beautiful, beautiful hike. Then you've got Oak Trail listed. You've got Old Baldy Trail, Los Burritos Trail, Aspen Peak Trail. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There is it. If you're, when we have winners that win our Arizona staycation, they periodically will call me and say, "Well, what do you recommend?" And then I try and dig into where in Arizona have you seen, where haven't you seen. Well, now I know. I'm just going to take them to ArizonaHighways.com and say, get on the site. Let's talk our way through it. Most of these places I know something about. Mm-hmm. I'll give you some additional input on it, and then you can decide where you want to go. Here this morning with Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere as we're talking getting out and enjoying the great state of Arizona. I think we'll go to the Eat and Sleep tab next.
Oh, good.
little Cajun backbeat for your Arizona Saturday morning at Rosie on the House. With Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine, we've talked through the collector editions series of this year for the covers of the magazine. We've talked about what you've been through historically, what you're coming up to cover between now and the end of the year. There isn't one of those topics that we just couldn't spend hours alone just talking about.
Absolutely.
And during the break, I'm just kind of perusing your website. And folks, if y'all, I mean, you're probably familiar with the magazine. It's just, have you spent time to get familiar with the website? And I'm scrolling the blogs. And Robert, this is not fair because I haven't told you what I'm looking at. But what is this peculiar story that came out just a couple weeks ago about this artwork being returned to U of A that was discovered in like a house in Silver City, New Mexico?
Yeah, I have to admit I didn't read that blog. I was probably out hiking somewhere the day that came out. But right, there's a lot of fascinating things that go on, you know, sort of beyond the usual purview of what we do in the magazine. And you know, the blog is great. We have, you know, more than a million people read our blog every year.
Wow.
And it gives us an opportunity to be more timely. You know, we were talking during the break about, you know, we're getting ready to send our November issue to the printer right now. So, you know, if a forest fire breaks out or something interesting, you know, or newsworthy happens, the blog really gives us a chance to be timely, you know, almost like a radio station.
An antique dealer, I think it's Silver City, New Mexico, makes an estate purchase.
Right.
Goes and clears the house out and brings it all back, and he just starts inventorying what he got. He's looking at this piece, and he has the eye to think, this may be something authentic.
Right.
Sends it out to a couple art experts, and they think it may be authentic. Was stolen from U of A Museum, I don't know, 30 years ago or something, 40 years ago. When it was stolen, it was worth approximately $40,000.
Wow.
A similar art piece recently sold for $137 million.
Whoa, I thought you were going to say $137,000. Wow.
And $37 million. This antique dealer in Silver City gives the piece back to U of A.
Mm. Wow, isn't that a great story? We could use more stories like that. Yeah, there's
the FBI is now trying to determine who took the paintings.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously the folks in the house didn't know what they had, so they probably weren't the thieves, right?
Right.
It's like they didn't know what they were sitting on.
Gosh, what stranger than fiction there. Well, let's get back to the what y'all are more known for, the great outdoors of Arizona. What are your upcoming hikes now? You've kind of been laid up this summer, kind of waiting for the better hiking weather to come along. What have you got? What's your bucket list being filled with?
Well, I've got I was talking, you know, again during the break. You know, there's a lot of hikes out there that I've done, and especially in the Sedona area. But I've actually found another hike up there called the Bear Sign Trail, which is kind of hard to get to, so you kind of take a couple other trails to get to that particular trail. So I'm going to that'll be the first one on my list. Have a couple of hikes in sort of some remote areas north of Prescott, which you know, is a beautiful part. You know, the Juniper Mountains up there, Juniper Mesa, just a really beautiful place in Arizona that a lot of people don't know about. There's beautiful scenic road that goes north up to the northern part of the state. So I've got a couple hikes in there. Actually going to be doing the South Kaibab Trail, which is not a first, and certainly I will not be alone on that, but I have that scheduled for next month as well. So, because believe it or not, we haven't featured it in the magazine for a long, long time. So I was looking through the list. I was like, wait a minute, we haven't done South Kaibab. So an excuse to go to the Grand Canyon.
Well, I just did it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, I don't know that I'm going to do the South Kaibab again. I think I'm going to stick with Bright Angel.
Yeah.
Since the big floods,
right,
the steps that they've carved into that have now washed out behind the steps. Mm. So like every single step from the point you leave the rim till you get to the bridge
right,
to cross the river is like, for me, about a half a step too big.
Well, you know, I mean, you bring up a good point. It's an ongoing challenge for the National Park Service and the folks up at the Grand Canyon. Trail maintenance is a huge and costly endeavor up there, and folks at like the Grand Canyon Association and others spend a lot of time raising money to try to fund the trail maintenance, because so many people go out there and they have to keep them safe.
Man, well, that one's gonna check off my list.
Yes, well, yeah, it's a great trail going up or down, but you know that, and you also bring up another point. I mean, and we hear about it over and over again. You hear about the accidents and tragedies that happen up in the Grand Canyon. I mean, they don't put you through a test. It's not like Disneyland where you have to be a certain height to get on the roller coaster, right? Anybody can walk up and hit those trails, and so many people go out without adequate preparation, especially in terms of water. And the tricky thing about the Grand Canyon, the easy part is the first part. Going down, it's easy, and you're just trucking along thinking, I'm hiking the canyon. This is no big deal.
You find yourself halfway down there, and you've hardly broke a sweat.
Right. So then you've got to, you know, you hike a mountain, it's the reverse. You sort of gas out going up, and you think, well, I can't do more, and then you coast back down. And so, you know, I would just, you know, it's a lot of common sense, but, you know, you need a lot of water and you need to know your own limitations.
Canyon de Chelly. You're not going to do a lot of hiking there.
No.
Unescorted.
Exactly. There's one short trail that you can take down to White House Ruin, and it's a beautiful little trail, and it's a gorgeous place to be, and especially coming up in the fall. You know, they've got those great cottonwoods down there that just burst into color.
How long is it?
The White House Ruin Trail is just a couple of miles. It's easy to do, but it's the only place, you know, as Rosie mentions, that you can go in without a guide. And so if you do hire a guide, then you can kind of go into some other places in there. But, you know, it's one of those parks that, you know, we're fortunate to have these parks, and it's that they're accessible. I mean, you can drive up in your car and you can go to those overlooks, and you don't have to break a sweat, and you can stay safe. But it's, you know, when you talk about history in Arizona and in ancient ruins and things, I mean, this is one of the most spectacular places anywhere.
And you get down there, and if you're familiar with the history of what happened there,
yes,
it's a quiet, reflective time.
Yes, I think you're talking about Massacre Canyon and
Canyon del Muerto.
Yeah, Canyon del Muerto, and we our upcoming issue, our October issue, is we've got a lot of that history in there, and we've got this story about this. We've profiled this guide down there, and I think he was 14 years old when he started guiding, and you know, his family actually, I think, you know, he had a couple of greats, three or four greats. Great grandfather was part of that that whole experience down there, and you know, it was a, you know, a different time, and it was there's a lot of history, and what's great too is a lot of the Navajo people are still sort of living a traditional life in there, you know, farming and raising peach trees and all the other things that they do.
Yeah, we just finished a tour through Taos, and you go to the pueblo there, and you know, you're in somebody's house.
Yeah, right. People still live in those places, which is remarkable.
Okay, so you got the barefoot hiker up in Monument Valley right now?
That's right. Referring, of course, to Craig Childs, who's a longtime writer
great writer.
Yeah, I mean, there isn't anybody better, I don't think, and we're fortunate that we have a long history with Craig, and so. Yeah, I reached out to him to see if he'd, you know, I said, hey, I need some beautiful words for my December issue. And so we went back and forth, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what he's doing. He threw me about 20 different ideas. And, all I know is, you know, it's nice to have somebody like that. It's like, just go. I don't, you know, write about whatever you want, because
it'll be good.
And he obviously knows the magazine. So, you know, he's not going to do a story about how to rebuild an air conditioner. But you know, he'll send me something beautiful, and it's going to be right up against the deadline.
Do you need guides for Monument Valley as well?
Yes, you do. I mean, and again, we spell all those things out in the magazine, right? Because it's real tempting to just think you can just wander off, and there are a lot of different guide opportunities, and it's very, very important to be respectful of their rules and their regulations up in Navajo land.
Now, there is a great hike that you can do on your own that crosses the reservation, that gets to a great destination. We've talked about it on the air before, but I'm going to leave it as my secret until I get to go do that hike.
There you go.
So I have that on my bucket list, right. That particular hike, Kitzsiel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But have you ever done picket post above Boyce Thompson?
No, you know, it's one of those. Yeah, we were talking earlier about Picacho Peak, you know, yeah. And I've driven past it a million times, and I finally did it, you know, last year. And
what did you think about that ledge?
You know, that didn't really bother me too much,
gosh.
But
it took me an hour to get up the nerve.
Yeah, it's a little hairy up there, I think. But
I thought, I'm not doing this till I saw an old lady. Yeah. Yeah, I thought, okay, you can follow her.
It's funny that you mentioned that because the only people I saw were a couple retired guys that were basically sprinting up it, you know, and obviously they live in one of those, you know, RV parks around there or something, and that's their daily
exercise.
That's
their workout.
And man, I was impressed. They blew right past me. I think I'm pretty good on the trail, but these guys just made me look like.
I enjoy hiking. I just don't like heights, and you're up on that. I mean, that.
Yeah.
Picacho Peak's just straight out of the desert, and you're that one ledge you have to go around, yeah. And it's like that wide.
Yeah, there's some spots there.
I guess I'm getting worse about heights.
But that goes back to what I was saying earlier about the Grand Canyon. And again, you know, you do encounter things that it's different than walking to Scottsdale Fashion Square.
Stretch you a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. So you come and pack the thinking cap. That's the number one.
And I know you have to do hikes that you could write about that are. Have an appeal to the most number of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're not going to do really extreme severe. But picket post is on my to-do list.
Yeah, you know, I see a lot of photos there, and it, you know, ties into the Arizona Trail, and it looks like a spectacular place to go. And it's just, again, it's one of those places I've driven past so many times, and every time I remind myself that it's on the list. But, Mel, maybe we should go do it together.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Before the break, I said we were going to go back to your website and talk about Eat and Sleep.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to go to Eat and Sleep at ArizonaHighways.com. Folks, they are the travelers of Arizona that know more about the different secret corners of Arizona than anybody, and they can take you into that little cafe. They can take you into that burger stand. They can take you into that. There's an Italian shop here they're talking about. We're going to come back with Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways, and talk about some of his favorite eats. One of the most popular guests we've had in the last 6 months was Roger Naylor, and everybody just wanted to know where the best burgers in Arizona were. So more with Robert Steve when we get back. Y'all hang on. Bringing it back to the editor of Arizona Highways Magazine, joining us in studio this morning, Mr. Robert Steve. Talking about what the issues have been this year, and what's coming up through the end of the year, some of his favorite hiking trails. We're talking about the website right now, ArizonaHighways.com, and the tabs across the top. Of course, the first one is no surprise: photography. Okay,
the bread and butter.
Then we have explore, and you're given the options of hiking, camping, scenic drives, or attractions. Then, of course, events, and then the tab I want to talk about now. Eat and Sleep. And you go down there and you can pick lodging, dining, or best restaurants.
All by region.
Mm-hmm. I clicked on lodging. First facility mentioned is Hall Cabin.
Right. Great spot up by the south rim of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And part of what is called the Rooms with a View program.
Whoever came up with that is a genius.
Right, yeah. And so what we're talking about is the Forest Service essentially had all these old ranger cabins that some of them sort of became obsolete with technology and things. But, you know, back in the day, you used to have people on the ground sort of watching for fires and doing whatever else needed to be done up in those places. And they became essentially obsolete. And so, but they had these great old structures. Of course, in Arizona, because of the arid climate, a lot of these things last.
Right.
You know, if this were up in Maine, it would have all melted into the ground,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
But so there's all these great cabins around the state. And it's not just Arizona, but in Arizona, we have a bunch of them. And so you can go rent these old cabins. They're very affordable. Most of them can accommodate a group of people. And so, you know, for a couple $100 or less, you get this cabin. And it gives you an opportunity to sort of rough it, but not entirely rough it, right? You know, you don't have to set up a tent, but most of them don't have electricity, and they're pretty rustic. But well, what
propane ovens, propane refrigerators. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one we've stayed in over by Sprucedale in the White Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
We like going there with our horses. I mean, it overlooks this meadow. Yeah. They've got a little corral right there. You can just put the horses up for the night. The back patio of this cabin looks out over this meadow. You got comfortable bunks. You've got the, like I say, the propane refrigerator, the propane oven,
right.
Indoor plumbing, bathroom. And it's not luxurious, but if they'd sell it to me, I'd buy it.
Yeah, no kidding. And that brings up the point. I mean, most of them are in really spectacular places with these great views.
And you're not going to spend the time inside anyway. Well, you just want a place to sleep and
exactly,
then get outside and enjoy
it. Yeah, hopefully you're not sitting around inside the cabin when you're that close to the edge of the Grand Canyon or up in the White Mountains.
If you think about these being built in the late 1800s and early 1900s, how are you deciding the locations? Were you going to the rangers that are most familiar with the area,
right,
and saying, the federal government has just approved money for us to build you a house anywhere in the area you'd like?
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, let's see. I like those views of the San Francisco peaks there. I think Kendrick Cabin will be my
yes.
place. Right?
Oh, man. Well, Robert, we can't thank you enough. The last stump question I have for you is, in the back of the magazine, as always, where is this?
Okay.
I just want you to tell me when the last time someone from Arizona won this. Here it is. Here's someone from Court Fernerno of Tinley Park, Illinois. Hmm. Here's Stettler, Alberta, Canada won this one. Barbara from St. Marie's, Idaho won this one. When was the last time Alice of Cherry Hill, New Jersey?
Well, we love Alice, and we're glad she won. Okay, so in fact, you did stump me. I can't tell you when the last time was. I can tell you.
It's been a long time.
But it does happen. And, you know, the way I look at it is, like, we're blessed to have, you know, subscribers in 120 countries and all 50 states. So,
that's awesome.
You know, and they engage in that. I think we may have talked about this on the air before. We get so much interaction from that Where Is This contest on the last page. And even the really obscure places get a lot of activity.
Oh, man. Well, thanks a million for taking the time and joining us coming in this morning.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
We're going to incorporate a lot of what we learned from Robert in continuing to build out our Arizona staycations, folks. I tell you, we continue getting rave reviews. There's only one place in the world you can register for it, and that's at rosieonthehouse.com. We draw a winner every single month, and you get to go over to Sanderson Ford at 51st Avenue south of Glendale, and you get to pick off their demo lot any car that's there. As a matter of fact, you could even call John and say, John, I want a Mustang. And he'll look at the calendar and say, we're a Mustang. We won't have available until whatever date, you know, like September 4th through the 9th. Okay, well, then that's when I want my staycation. Put my name on that vehicle, and then I'll call Rosie, and we'll figure out where we're going to go. Jennifer puts a gas card on the dashboard of the car so you don't have to pay for any gas. We find out where you want to go, and we work with one of our 19 lodging partners across the great state of Arizona. Wherever you want to go, we have a lodging partner that will work with us to put you up. So it's a staycation that you get to build for yourself, for wherever you want to go, for whenever you want to go, and there's only one place to get it, rosieonthehouse.com. And thank you to Sanderson Ford for sponsoring it. Thank you to Arizona Highways. Jennifer always puts a package of y'all's books in there with gift baskets from Sibley's and Soretta Chocolates and Coyote Odie.
Sphinx State Ranch.
Sphinx State Ranch.
Sibley's West. And looking here on their website, several of our partners are listed right here on Arizona Highways as well. We've got Avenue Lodge, Red Feather Lodge, Best Western Inn Plus of Sedona, the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel. I mean, these are great places to stay. Memory makers.
One of the ones, Robert, that are on the very top of our list that Jennifer and I will be at probably within the next couple of weeks is in Globe, Arizona.
Mm.
Nosker Hill, the schoolhouse.
Love that place, right?
Yep. I haven't stayed there. Romy's been there.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. It's a great place. I mean, it's the best way to go back to school. You know,
it's the old school, and the rooms are like 1,000 square feet.
Yeah, I think.
Well, they're old school rooms, so they're made for 15, 20 students.
I think.
And
Oh, sorry.
Well, it's cool. The chalkboards are still there, and people that stay there write little notes and sayings and names and dates on it. It's fun.
I love it. Robert? Yeah,
thanks so much.
Thanks a million. Kat, thank you enough for coming in and sharing your wealth of Arizona wisdom with us. Appreciate it. Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine. Get to their website. Get to their shop. You can do your entire Christmas shopping right there. I do most of my Christmas shopping just buying subscriptions for people back in the East.